Could humans make a web that catches spiders? What happens if you toast? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Live! Welcome everyone to the podcast,
Woo!
The comedy paranormal podcast hosted by me, Rory Powers, and this guy across from me, Kit Greer. If you haven't listened to the show before, Kit and I are professional paranormal investigators. We've been in the industry for more years than I can count, frankly, at this point. Partially because I can't count very high, but we have also been here for a long time. Some of that time I should have been in school, as you could tell. Here we are, regardless, with our years of expertise, coming at you to investigate a paranormal creature. Are you excited for today's case, Kit?
I tried to toast once. Do you know how high your insurance premium goes after you burn your own house down?
So that's what happened? Or is that a separate story?
That was the real discovery of the day.
Does everything get tastier when you burn it a little? Mm. You know, the first guy was like having a sandwich and he was like, why don't I f***ing toast it? What if I burn it a little? You know, I wonder how much, what if we haven't done that with? What if you...
So I'm going to assume that grapes aren't good toasted, but I haven't done it, so...
You ever toasted a grape, my friend? You could toast, you know, toast birthday cake. I bet that would be delicious. Toast spaghetti. If you put spaghetti in a toaster, heated it up a little bit so it got a little crunchy. I think that would be pretty delicious.
Yeah, that was house number two that went down.
All right. Well, just if you're going to do the experiments, do it cautiously.
What if I toast water?
I want to toast a fork.
What if I toast
yummy
me?
Little fork?
My hand.
Look. Let's stop dilly-dallying at the start of the podcast and just jump right in because we've got a big case to investigate this week. It's a popular one that has been emailed in a couple times, but, you know, I have danced around the idea of covering it before, but it's a complicated one. Similar to when we cover creatures like goblins or dragons, this is a paranormal entity that has its roots in folklore, in ancient mythology. Our first story today comes from an internet poster called Gabrielle. Though living in Australia, she's from an Irish family and was raised as a believer in folklore. Mm. It was Boxing Day, the year 2000, on the central coast of New South Wales, Australia, not far from Sydney. Gabrielle had arranged to meet a friend for a picnic on the banks of the Wyong Creek. It was a hot Australian summer day. The gang had just finished eating, and the children were starting to get a little restless. So they packed up the picnic and hopped in the canoes that they'd brought with them. After an afternoon of playing out on the water, it was time to pack up and head home.
Sorry, I'm just getting sidetracked just thinking about how different my childhood was to that. That sounds pretty idyllic.
Pretty
picnicking
wholesome.
Picnicking on the canoe?
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the streets of Northern Ireland, we were fighting rats with Beyblades for entertainment.
And food. Those little bastards took most of the cheese.
They took most of the good stuff from the dumpsters, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever had a day as idyllic as this. This sounds like an advert for camping equipment. Or Budweiser, maybe, if the kids weren't there. Yeah, I'm pretty jealous.
If you replace the kids with two frosty buds, you've got an alcohol industry advertisement.
Which I did for most of my life as a parent. But maybe, just maybe, Kit, this isn't a story you want to be associated with your childhood.
Oh.
After an afternoon of playing out on the water, it was time to pack up and head home. But as they paddled back towards the spot where the cars had been parked, they passed a young woman walking a small dog. Suddenly, without warning, the little terrier started barking frantically and bolted towards the water's edge. It was making such a racket that it got the attention of the whole gang. What was going on? Did this dog just hate canoes? As Gabrielle glanced over to see what all the commotion was about, she couldn't believe what she saw. Just a few feet away from the dog was a tiny little person running away at full pelt.
Holy moly.
The figure couldn't have been taller than 30 centimeters at the most.
30 centimeters?
This
thing
is
a... Whenever you say little person, we're picturing Kevin Hart, 3-4 foot, sure, but 30 centimeters?
30
centimeters. The size of a school ruler, my friends.
This thing is small. With the dog hot on its heels, it sprinted down to the waterfront, joining its hands together and diving headfirst into the water, where it disappeared. The dog quickly followed, with its owner running after it, screaming hysterically for it to come back. She managed to grab the dog by its collar and haul it back to the shore. The woman said, "Sorry about that! Sorry about the noise, guys! I'm sure you came here for a bit of peace. I don't know what's gotten into him." But Gabrielle knew. She looked around, and every single member of their party was still staring open-mouthed. Everyone but the tiniest kids had seen it. And to this day, whenever Gabrielle goes anywhere near the region, she can't help say to herself, "That's where the fairies live."
Good Lord, man.
Welcome to the world of fairies!
Wow.
Yes.
This is a momentous occasion in TPL history. 4 years in, we're just discovering fairies now.
Pretty crazy, right? You would have thought they would have come up more often than once in 3 years. I guess, you know, fairies are kind of similar to leprechauns.
Sure.
A little bit similar to little mischievous goblins.
They're little scamps.
They are little scamps. And we have covered little scamps on the podcast before. So this is kind of going to be a bit of new territory and a bit of old territory.
Love it. Yeah, I'm fascinated to hear more.
Folklore surrounding fairies goes back so far that there isn't really a time or a story in particular that we can pinpoint as to the creation of the legends. They're found in a lot of European cultures, obviously. Celtic, German, English, French. But generally speaking, they take the form of small human-like beings and have a range of magical powers. Imagine Dumbledore was zapped by the gun from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I'm listening.
And he has all his magical abilities, but he is an ant.
Mm.
Maybe not as small as an ant, because that's a little much. But as small as a house cat.
That's pretty powerful, I'll say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, now that you've framed it this way, because I kind of, in my mind, picture fairies as like pretty, I don't know, I guess I'm picturing Tinkerbell from Peter Pan, now that I think about it, relatively...
dainty little thing.
Harmless.
Yeah.
Whereas cat-sized Dumbledore is quite scary.
He is nimble and he knows spells.
And he knows the bad ones too, the ones that kill.
Yeah, oh yeah. Whereas Tinkerbell, if you had a cricket bat, you could obliterate her with one swing, I reckon.
Cricket bat is a good shot, too, because it's quite wide, so you ain't gonna miss.
Yeah, you'd be totally fine. Or a tennis racket.
Captain Hook should have thought about that.
Yeah.
The hook was never gonna do it.
Why was he using the hook? The hook is too precise. It's like trying to catch her with chopsticks.
I don't remember the plot of Peter Pan, though. I mean, they could have been friends, for all I know.
I think he had guns. Why didn't he ever use those?
Wow. That's really something. That's quite terrifying. But a cat is quite
Let's
big.
Not hold on to the cat thing. I literally just threw out a
No. Let's dial in on that. So they can jump?
Well, yeah, they could jump in the same way like any human can jump. I think they can fly, to
be fair.
Do
they clean themselves with their tongue?
They don't. Well, I don't know that either, to be fair.
Interesting.
Let's not hold on to the cat thing, because the cat thing was just any animal.
Does cat nip? Have the same effect?
They go nuts. They do.
Really?
Yeah, they go crazy.
They go f***ing berserk.
One origin story of the fairies that I loved was one actually based in Christianity that said when a group of angels revolted against the heavens, God ordered the gates of heaven shut. Those angels...
That's bad. That's like the worst thing he could do.
He closed the borders.
That's it. Party's over.
I guess if it's getting a little out of control, you're like, I gotta shut this down. I gotta close the gates. But the idea is that those angels still in heaven remained angels. Those angels who were in hell became demons. And those caught in between became fairies.
Is that an actual Christian story? That seems pretty wild for the Bible.
Also, why were there angels in hell? Before the door shut, why were there angels
They'd
in hell?
They'd better been undercover.
Yeah, doing
what
some
What were
sort
they
of
doing there?
Operation.
That's like when you find out the prime minister went to like a brothel. It's like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
That can't have been official business.
Right before he shuts down the borders to all brothels. And it's like, well, you were just in one. So that seems a little bit weird. I also would love it if there was just an angel out doing errands on Earth, like oblivious to all of this going on. And he's like, just comes back and he's like, yo, knocking on the door. He's like, hey, yo, guys, I got the milk and beer. Yo, guys, where'd my Halo go? Did you guys lose your Halo?
It's getting cold. It's getting cold.
Why am I cat size? I used to be like a dude. I used to be like 6'5".
Is anyone else shrinking? Is anyone else? I'm shrinking before my very eyes.
Oh, shit. Just give me a shout when you guys open up again. I'm going to go to Ireland.
The one place that lets in demons and fairies. We never close the gates.
And it turns out there's a lot of different types of fairies. Pisky, trooping fairies, sealy courts, hobgoblins.
Wow. Yeah. I've only heard of that last one.
There's a whole range of them. And they all have different abilities, different capabilities, and different motives, let's say. In general, fairies have a heavy...
Are they murder suspects? They're all under scrutiny, best believe. We're going to line them up and see who did it.
Pisky was promised a huge inheritance in the will. Sealy Courts was found with their fingerprints on the candlestick.
And the hobgoblin, he was banging the other guy's wife.
In general, fairies have a heavy association with Ireland. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of looking forward to diving into the history of our homeland and telling the stories of all the cute little mischievous adventures that they've had over the years.
Sure.
Turns out we might want to distance ourselves from the fairy world.
Oh.
Because some of the shit that they do is pretty dark. Some of the scariest fairy stories involve a type of fairy called a changeling. A creature known for zapping babies into another dimension.
Okay.
And then shapeshifting to take their place.
Okay, so they were caught in purgatory, but I think they were on the way to hell. They were on the bus to hell when they closed the gates of heaven.
They should have been in hell, yeah. For sure. I don't know if there's any good reason to zap a baby.
So let's just recap. They send babies to another dimension.
Yeah, they're like, you're gone, poof. You go to the fairy realm now, and I am your baby.
Whoa.
It's kind of like those videos you see where there's like a cat, and it's just given birth, and there's a bunch of kittens all drinking milk, and just one weasel. And the weasel has just snuck its way in, weaseled its way in, you could say, and it's drinking the milk.
It's getting the lion's share of the kitten's milk.
These changelings are zapping away the kitten and going and sucking on the teat.
It's a plot of Jordan Peele's Us.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Being replaced by someone that isn't you but looks like you, you know?
And sending the real you to some kind of hell realm.
A terrifying concept, truly. Usually a parent can tell if their child has been abducted by a changeling.
Okay.
If the baby suddenly becomes sickly, ill-tempered, or just evil. In one old legend, a family had recently had a baby, and the father had hired the local tailor to come round and make a suit for him. As in, for the dad.
For
not,
the baby?
Not for the baby. This was a boss baby. So on that day, the tailor came round and began working on the new suit, while the mother and child sat peacefully. But on this occasion, the baby was acting strange. It was usually a pretty peaceful little bean, but now it was crying, thrashing about. Very strange. The mother apologized. I'm so sorry about him. Let me go get him another blanket.
Sorry, he hates pinstripes.
As soon as the mother left the room, the baby stopped crying. That's odd, the tailor thought. Then the baby turned its head towards the man and said, psst, hey.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Not a baby. A baby didn't do this. I guess a changeling could have.
A changeling, okay, not
the
baby.
I'll let you finish.
The baby turned its head towards the man and said, psst, hey.
I'm absolutely not buying this.
Has the old hag gone?
That tailor was drinking. The baby did not say that.
Unsure of how to respond, the tailor simply nodded his head. That's when the baby pulled out a set of pan pipes from his blanket and started playing them.
No! No! He started dancing a little jig.
Not very discreet. I think even if she has left the room, she'd probably hear the pan pipes.
She's coming back.
Did you have to pipe that badly? That you couldn't have waited until nighttime? How badly is this baby addicted to pan pipes that the second the mother leaves, he's like, is she gone? I got a f***ing pipe, man.
Also, like, crying and thrashing isn't a good way to get your mother to go away.
Yeah.
Usually that means, like,
more attention.
The mother is going to be like, oh, Jesus, what do I have to do here? Change your nappy? Hungry?
He should have looked over to the mom and been like, I don't need you anymore, mother.
I'll take it from here.
Immediately, the mother rushed in to see what the noise was and couldn't believe her eyes. She cried out, a changeling! Now I know what you are. I'll have my revenge. She grabbed the baby and carried it down to the river, ready to throw it downstream.
Oh no.
But as she reached the water's edge, the creature began laughing and in an instant overpowered the woman, pushing her into the river. It laughed, scuttling away like a crab as the woman drowned.
And who do we have to thank for documenting this real story?
The tailor, I guess, who just watched the whole thing go
down. I saw it all, whiskey ball in hand. I saw it all go down.
Look, it's an old story. I can appreciate the fact that it is an old story. A legend, sure.
And still quite detailed.
Very
detailed.
The
baby scuttled away like a crab.
I may have added the crab parts. But the pipes were there. The rest of it was there.
I'm surprised at how quickly, you know, mothers are supposed to have this, you know, undying biochemical bond to their baby.
Right.
The mother seemed to jump to the conclusion of changeling pretty damn fast. It was like she was expecting it.
Yeah, it could have just been a talented
She's
child.
Like, I knew it. I knew it.
I mean, who's to say that Michael Phelps as a baby wasn't zapped into another world and taken over by a changeling who can swim like a magical fish?
It would explain a lot, to be honest.
He was probably in his crib playing pipes and eating stew and dancing a little jig, and they were like, he's pretty good at swimming though, so let's just say that he is our baby and we'll train him up to be an Olympic athlete.
If you put 5% of the energy you put into pan pipes into competitive swimming, you'll be the greatest swimmer of all time.
But you can see how devastating this would be if you were a mother and you'd been caring for this thing that you thought was your own child, but it was this horrible little creature that had stolen the place of your baby. It's pretty brutal.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying to think that that could happen to any of us, and that any one of us might be a changeling.
Yeah.
Do I even know if I'm a changeling?
I mean, that's a good point. I think all of the criteria were being ill, loud, and evil, and I think we pretty much check all of those
fit
boxes.
The bill.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe Rory and Kit were zapped out in the first episode.
Podcasters definitely are more likely to be changelings. We're definitely loud and evil.
Yeah, disappointments to our parents. Like, the only reason a son of mine would grow up to be a podcaster is if they were swapped at birth. Look, I know that was an old story, but it's not the only story that we have. Kit, I have three more encounters that people have had with fairies over the years, and while we don't have time to break them down entirely in this one episode, let's do bite-sized looks. We're talking
fairy-sized looks.
Little fairy-sized looks. This is a little segment that I'm going to call Power Stories. We have three stories.
It's cool you named it after yourself. That's interesting.
Three stories, a brief synopsis of what happened, and then you come to the conclusion at the end as to whether or not you think they're real.
Okay, I like this.
Stories within stories.
Mini episode within the episode.
Exactly. Okay, so first up, in 1909, a lady called Annie McIntyre from County Derry claimed that she'd been stolen away by fairies as a child. Do you think that this is true or untrue?
Holy, you said this is bite size. This is molecule size. This is dust size.
Well, to a fairy, it's a feast, sir. It's a huge feast. Did you not see Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? The cookie's a mountain to them. The ant is a beast to them. So this little story is like a two-parter to a fairy.
This is like...
I probably should have added a little more information. That is very short.
This is like a challenge for Sherlock Holmes himself.
There is no wrong or right answer.
Sounds like there is. I mean, It either happened or it didn't, surely. I'm gonna say you didn't specify exactly where, but we know it's County Derry.
Stolen away by fairies as a child, as in she's now an adult and not stolen by fairies. So it happened to her and now she's back.
So she would have had to have presumably fought her way out of some kind of fairy realm.
I believe her brother threw a Bible at them and scared them away.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay,
I shouldn't have.
You don't understand why I kept it short, you son of a bitch.
Her brother threw a Bible at them. He saw them out
in the
streets.
Yeah, the brother caught them as they were taking her away, I believe. All right, that was a dud. But I guarantee we got two more stories to go.
I thought it was a lot more supernatural. It sounds like her brother caught pedophiles stealing his little sister.
Threw a Bible at them and scared them away.
I don't think it was even consequential that it was a Bible. I think he just hit them with a book.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go on record to say that a Bible works against pedos. I think I'd use a gun.
Wow. They've already made their choices.
All right, story number two. In March 1895, a woman named Bridget Cleary was killed by her family because, according to them, the real Bridget had been abducted by fairies who had left a changeling behind in her place.
Jesus, did that really happen?
That actually happened.
Holy moly. I am worried about this. I'm worried about the concept of changelings being used to get rid of people.
Yes, I will say the entire family were arrested and charged with murder because that's not a reason to kill anyone. One is probably just
murder.
Murder, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, if the judge came to that decision, that's probably
all right. I'm starting to lose faith in power stories as a concept. Because the first one was no, and the second one was murder.
The first one was pedos, the second one was murders.
But hey, we got one more story. We can turn this thing around.
I'm excited. Let's go. I have a feeling in my heart that this could be real already. I haven't even heard it yet.
Because if this goes well, then this could be like everyone's like
a recurring theme.
Do power stories. Do power stories.
Could be everyone's favorite moment.
Okay. All right. We got this. We got this.
Let's go.
Right. In 1917, in Cottingley, West Yorkshire, 10-year-old Frances Griffiths and her cousin Elise Wright claimed to have met a group of fairies in the garden of their house.
Okay.
The girls managed to take a picture of the creatures, and when their father developed the film, this is what he saw.
This is a crazy segue into physical evidence, by the way. Holy! This is... What am I looking at? A little girl is straight up posing for a photo.
This isn't look even, good, don't
even
you?
Candid. And there is a Great Gatsby-style party of fairies happening directly in front of her. They're playing trumpets, dancing.
Look, regarding the pose, for a start, if you knew you were going to be involved in a photo that was going to shatter the concept of people's reality, you're going to want to look good.
It's true. It's like...
If I was out in the woods and I saw a unicorn and you were like, let me take a picture of you riding this
unicorn.
You're
going to fix your hair first. Sure.
I'm going to pop my shirt open a little bit.
Just a couple buttons. Yeah.
Get some oil on, some body oils, maybe thrown into Photoshop.
If you get lucky, it could be the number one Tinder profile pick.
Exactly. So no disrespect for this lovely lady doing a bit of modeling around the fairy festival.
That photo is a lot to take in. What do you make of that?
Well, I feel like I should say right off the bat, it's fake.
Are you sure?
It was debunked.
I think it's pretty good.
I will say for the record, for those people listening to the podcast, when you think of what a fairy might be like captured on film, maybe you imagine some sort of orb, maybe like a Legend of Zelda style Navi, like a ball with
a ball
wings
of
coming
light
out.
With wings.
These are little women with butterfly wings. One of them has a little trumpet.
Yeah.
And they're just blasting away, dancing, having a great time.
Yeah, it's a fairy from any fantasy movie ever.
It's not very it's not very discreet.
No.
It's pretty in your face. I maybe should have waited a little longer to reveal that it was fake.
I'm honestly glad that you did tell me that because I was about to double down pretty hard on those.
So, I mean, that's the end of power stories.
Yeah.
I didn't quite play out the way I wanted it to.
We probably will cut it from the episode, but, you know.
That's rude.
But thanks for nothing, but also, I guess, trying something new.
Yeah. I think maybe all of those could have fit as full stories in the episode. They didn't need to be powerized. They didn't need to be condensed.
It might have been a bit depressing if they were drawn out. I actually had heard of that photo, or the photos, if there was more of them.
I should have referred to it by its name. It's called the Cottingley Fairies.
There you go.
Because that's the location.
Yeah.
I was quite upset when I read what it actually was, because even our researcher, Amy, talked about them briefly. Was like, hey, the Cottingley Fairies. Have you not heard of the Cottingley Fairies?
It's a famous moment in British paranormal history.
I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. And I researched it, and it's nonsense. I almost didn't want to include it because it's such an insult to even entertain in this story.
But it is fascinating because it convinced a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
At the time.
There was like a writer who was involved in the Sherlock Holmes novels that he was like, this is complete evidence of paranormal entities.
Yeah. Arthur Conan Doyle, the writer of Sherlock Holmes, incredibly celebrated British author, one of the most famous of all time. And he wrote many different things. He wrote treatises and political books and opinions and some of the most famous novels of all time. It's a bit of a dark smudge on his history, is the Cottingley Fairies. He went hard. He believed in them. He wrote essays about how real they were, how everyone needs to wake the fuck up because the fairies are here. And then, yeah, got a bit of egg on his face in the end.
That's a weird hill to die on. Especially if you didn't even see the fairies. You just saw a picture of the fairies, and already you're praying to the fairy lords below you. It's a kind of strange. I think even if I saw a fairy, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. No, get the fuck. I don't want anything to do with this. Like, Leah, I got work on Monday. I got a lot of shit to do.
I've got a hit book series over here to take care of.
I would not want to get involved in my life in any capacity.
I feel like the modern version of Conan Doyle and the Cottingley Fairies is Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 and UFOs.
Yeah.
He's just like, fuck it, I quit everything. I quit being in one of the most famous bands ever to research UFOs.
Yeah. And like, I mean, that's kind of crazy. That's almost a good argument that aliens are real, because you gave up being in the raddest band of all time to search for the truth about the universe.
At least he dedicated himself to like a field of study, not just a photo. He saw one photo and went, mother of God, and canceled his whole life.
He watched E.T. and then canceled the Blink US tour. He's like, this has a glowing finger and I need to find him and touch it.
Hiring dozens of ex-NASA employees. Can you find them? You mean aliens? I mean E.T. We're going to start with aliens, and if we find E.T., we'll let you know. Okay, sir.
Do you think, because I know there's a couple songs by Blink-182 that like are kind of like alien related.
Mm-hmm.
They were obviously...
Specifically Aliens Exist?
Yeah, that one. There are some subtle hints placed in the Blink discography, such as Aliens Exist and They Out There. I like to think every song that Tom wrote was about aliens, and they just had to like tweak the lyrics.
Right. Like even the love songs, even the...
Yeah, all of it. It's just like, where are you?
Right.
Are you real? Like, no, you can't say that one, Tom. You can work it into like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, or something like that. You can change it to feeling this. That was originally about feeling a connection with the universe. They're like, no, it has to be about, I don't know, boobs. What was it about in the end?
I don't think so. I think it's a pretty emotional song. Is that what you took from that song? That's fascinating. Maybe we need to go back and listen to their discography with this in mind.
Yeah, find all the subtle hints.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
That was interesting, though, the stuff that you said about the Sherlock Holmes writer. That's crazy. Do you want to host? Do you want to host the show?
No, man. It was just a little one-off. Like, I just heard of the photo before.
So. No, it's, you just seem to have all the answers and all the information.
No, man. It's just so that, it's cool. It's just the one photo. Like, it's normal that because we're both paranormal investigators. Pretty famous story.
Why don't...
I'm kind of surprised you hadn't heard of it, to be honest.
It's just, I don't remember which one of us stayed up all night writing power stories and researching fairies.
That took
fairies.
You all night?
Which one of us did that? It was me, actually, wasn't it, in the end?
Of dialogue.
Why don't you take the iPad and I'll sit on my ass and ridicule
you
everything you say.
Ass. I
How
didn't
about
ridicule
that?
Anything you said.
How about that, buddy?
You're getting real testy about the episode of fairies, and it's been great. I want to hand it to you.
I bring the evidence. I bring the stories. If you want to contribute and like add in your own points, just let me know beforehand. Just say, hey, bud.
I've been adding in stories for 4 years. You never had a problem. It seems this one is really. I think
it's
because I was.
Heart.
I want to say it might have been because I was treading on power stories. Is that possible?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
As I said, I've been up for days working on power stories. And
the rest of the episode has been great.
It didn't pan out.
Why did
power stories bullshit? What was I thinking? This is gonna sound nuts, all right? Let's do them again. We'll just do them again, and we'll cut it from the first time.
We can't do it.
We'll cut it from the first time.
I can't pretend that I'm hearing this for the first time.
Because I didn't tee it up right the first time. So if we could get some like wow rock and roll music in here,
I don't think it's gonna help.
I know
it's gonna help because the first one's about a pedo. So
I can't.
The rock and roll it's gonna fall flat on its face.
We're gonna try it again. Avoid the pedo shit, seriously, because that I think is put a bad taste in people's mouth. And for the second one, don't even
I'll
say
try,
murder.
But it's
don't even say murder for
you,
the second
you
one.
You said it was a murder case.
Wow! Welcome to Power Hour, a stories. I got the name wrong of the shit.
You kept doing the voice.
Wow! We're doing another take here. In 1909, a lady was ganked by fairies. What do you think, brother? I'm changing up
this,
the red.
This isn't better. I'm telling you now, it's not better.
Forget it.
I said the episode was good. It's going great. You just need to...
Forget. I just need to what? Move past
Except
power
that Power Stories was a fine bit of the case.
No. Pitt's just going to... Poison. It's just poison
You're way too invested in Power Stories because I feel like it's just because it's got your name attached to it. Why don't we just call...
How would you feel if you made some bullshit and called it Kit Spaghetti? What if you made a dish called Kit Spaghetti and it tasted like asshole? Would you be happy about that? No, you wouldn't, would you? You'd want to change the recipe.
I wouldn't keep calling it Kit Spaghetti. I would revamp the recipe, sure.
Okay. So you're thinking if I change the name of it, all right. So that was that section in the middle was Greer Tales.
No, that's
Kit Greer Tales. So unless y'all liked it, if y'all liked it, it's not Kit Spaghetti or Greer Tales. That's definitely Power Stories.
No one thought it was Kit Spaghetti. No one thought it was Kit Spaghetti.
Look, the main takeaway from this episode isn't Power Stories. The main takeaway is don't be an Artemis Fowl. Don't f*** with fairies. They're mischievous little pint-sized bastards that will steal your babies or they will drown you. In some stories, they made people vanish for years into the fairy realm.
That's bad.
Where they thought they were dancing for merely minutes until they were brought back into the human world where they'd been gone for years.
Jesus, that's terrifying.
So how do you avoid fairies or their curses? Let me tell you. The first thing to look out for is fairy rings. Now, we have actually covered this on the podcast before. I think actually in one of your episodes,
towards
the start, we talked a little bit about fairy rings.
Years ago.
Specifically not to disturb them. For those of you who don't know, fairy rings are basically a bunch of mushrooms or flowers or some form of vegetation growing in a circle where there should be no reason why anything would grow in such a perfect circle.
For sure.
When people have tried to clear them or step into them or mess with them in any way, there's been some pretty disastrous accidents that have taken place.
I seem to remember it runs the gamut from if you step in a fairy circle, you may experience bad luck or something, all the way to that you go to the fairy realm.
Yeah, almost like a prison sentence. Depending on how hard you f*** with the ring, it could be 9 years in the fairy realm. You're sentenced to.
They do 25 to life in the fairy realm as well.
If you piss in a fairy circle, you get lifetime in the fairy realm, which is, it's deserved, frankly, because you're showing a huge amount of ignorance to some pretty magical little creatures. Number two to look out for, don't cut a fairy thorn. I didn't know what that was, but apparently these are hawthorn trees that belong to the fairy, and anyone that damages or cuts one down risks, you guessed it, lifetime in the fairy realm.
This is a very real one. I know people right now, they're thinking, Kit and Rory tell such funny stories. It's just a little ha-ha, little fun time to talk about the fairies. I can vouch for this. I vouched for it years ago when we talked about fairy circles. My extended family, my uncles and stuff like that, a lot of farming background in our family.
Yeah, because your family history is a lot closer linked to Ireland.
Yeah. So on one side of my family, they're from like the Glens of Antrim, which was, I seem to remember in the Leprechauns episode, a site of a leprechaun gold mine. So there's a lot of activity. And I have heard, long before we started this paranormal life, tales of my family members and them working with people in the countryside around Northern Ireland, grown men, old men, that would refuse to touch one of these trees, a fairy bush as they called it, or a fairy circle. And you, if you drive around the countryside, you will occasionally see it. You'll see a beautiful, pristine field, maybe filled with animals or crops, and you will see a bush just left alone, nothing touching it, because they don't want to risk the going to the fairy realm.
Yeah, and it's not even something as dramatic as that, or like a little imp slaps you about in your sleep. It's just bad luck.
Yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
It takes the form of like just a curse. You'll curse your family for all times. So yeah, it's a very real thing, especially as I said, in places like Ireland where people take this thing very seriously. Experts also warn not to pick flowers from elder trees on Midsummer's Eve. I know you love doing that, so I felt the need to put that one in there.
What's Midsummer's Eve? Just like the summer equinox? Is that it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, we better figure it out or else I'm going to be in trouble.
But I don't really pick flowers from elder trees anyway. I think that's something out of Skyrim.
There's not a lot of those in East London, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, the East London version of that is don't buy a bottle of Buckfast from a corner shop on Friday at 3 a.m. That's a real curse that you'll inflict on yourself.
If you go down a street corner in Hackney and ask for where you can find the nearest elder tree, you'll leave with about 50 quid's worth of weed.
So those are the ways that you don't want to mess with them. How do you actively repel them so they don't even come anywhere near you? Well, apparently they don't like to be around bad energy. So things like arguments and foul language wards them off.
Well, that's bullshit because it sounds like they're very troublesome. So that's pretty rich of them.
Yeah, it's a little rude to say you don't like bad energy, but you will zap a child into another dimension.
And it's judgy. It's judgy of them. For people who need to be judged.
If you want to keep them away, you can pour salt around your house or being.
That's classic.
Or plant yellow flowers. Apparently they hate that.
Plant your own fairy circle, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Anti-fairy circle.
They also don't like anything made out of iron, because I think if they're hit by iron or cut by iron, the wound never heals.
Ooh, interesting.
It's like their kryptonite.
Damn, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So if you were to wear like...
They're just going to say if they get hit with an iron rod, they die. Just like the rest of us.
An iron cricket bat will do the job just fine. But be warned, because there's going to be a couple people who listen to this episode and think, hey, why don't I try f***ing with fairies? I'm going to get involved in this shit. I'm going to start kicking up circles and doing weird things. Once the fairy folk have noticed you, it can never be undone.
What?
You're on their radar forever.
F*** off.
Till the day you die.
Wow. I'm starting to understand why, you know, whenever I said my family were too afraid to cut down that fairy bush, I did it.
Wait, you cut it down?
Yeah. They were like, yeah, we're too scared to. I was like, I ain't scared of dick, granddad. I took a chainsaw to it that afternoon. And you're telling me that...
You're never getting off the radar.
I'm on the radar.
Did you never... I mean, after that, was there any years of bad luck or...
Asking me if I've had any years of bad luck is like asking a pig if they've ever seen shit. I live in it. I exist in it. I live for it.
In shit or in a curse?
Sometimes both.
That's a bad curse.
My life was as bad before the fact as after the fact.
Well, that just about wraps up all the evidence that I have for today's case. You know, it is a strange one. Like I said, like the dragon's case, like the goblins, like the leprechauns. It's a creature that we do need to cover because... It is paranormal, but maybe a lot of the stories and legends we hear are a little more fictitious than some of the ones we usually cover. The Sure. only contemporary story we had was the one at the start, which was an internet post online. So really not even from a newspaper or an online article or anything like that. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one this week, but what are you thinking, Kit? Fairies. You think there's any truth to this?
This was great. Thank you for bringing such excellent evidence, photographic evidence.
How did you feel about power stories?
Much like Kit spaghetti, it tasted like asshole. Photographic evidence that even fooled Sir Arthur Conan Doyle himself. It fooled a knight, no less. And yet we are left with stories that are pretty much completely unbelievable. People claiming to have been abducted as children, their brothers rescued them from the fairy realm. I don't really know what to do with that. I don't know if that's provable.
A woman who was just murdered by her family.
Because there was no proof of fairies there either. They just thought she was a fairy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a really grisly story. I had to shorten that one quite a bit.
And yet, Rory, my gut says that there's something to it. My gut says that in the ancient folklore of Ireland that there's something to these fairy stories. And like I say, my own family believes that they know these places where the fairies reside. And I'm not saying I haven't seen, sure, hell, a fairy or two on a psychedelic voyage. So, fuck it. I'm going to go in, yes, I think there's fairies out there.
Amazing. I am a no this week.
New card.
Wow, it's never this way. I feel like anytime there's a yes, no, it's always me saying yes.
Sometimes you got to stir the pot.
It's true.
And if you need to break a branch off a fairy tree and stir that pot and get cursed for a lifetime, well, hell, brother, that just shows that they're real.
I did just tell you that I rewatched Princess Mononoke last night.
Yep.
An amazing movie that if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend. That whole movie is basically showing what happens when humans f*** with the forest spirits. There's some repercussions there.
It turns out.
But unfortunately, I think in today's case, while I do love the idea of fairy circles and the legends surrounding them, yeah, I just don't have the evidence today. I mean, at least in the leprechaun episode, we had the leprechaun bones and a little hat and some gold, I think, left over. Whereas fairies, yeah, a lot more just stories and legends.
It's a lot of story, which ironically did make it pretty much a full house in terms of the pyramid of truth. It all had hearsay, legend,
story,
rumor,
gossip. God, I love the pyramid of truth. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. If you've ever seen a fairy, punched a fairy, or had any sort of encounter with the fairy realm.
If you think your brother or sister or hell partner is a changeling, let us know.
Good. Yeah. Let us know and let the authorities know and do not touch them is what we're going to say on that note. But yeah, let us know. Send in an email to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. We hope you loved this week's episode. And if you just can't get enough of This Paranormal Life, you should go on Patreon and spend all of your life savings. We have a ton of amazing tiers where you can get a bunch of amazing bonus content. Now, we've been doing the bonus episodes for years now. There are 40 plus episodes.
44 at time of recording.
Wow, available right now. So if you have caught up, if you've listened to everything, check out Patreon and you can get, what, a year's worth of episodes at your fingertips right there. But I know what you're thinking. Hey, maybe they're a little bit different from the regular episodes. Maybe I won't enjoy them. I don't know. Let me put those fears to rest right now by showing you a very special sneak preview.
Ooh. I get to an interesting bit anyway about God creating the world at the very dawn of time. In a snap of the fingers and a dab on the haters, God created the earth. And at first, there's nothing but bright light. Eventually it dims. Then it brightens again. Night and day now exist. God then creates the sea and the sky. His next move is the land. I like to imagine at this point, he looks like Goku trying to summon every fiber of strength in his being, lifting the earth. Yeah! Towering rocks burst forth from the blue depths. He crafts the sun and moon, then sprinkles the night with stars. He commands life to spring forth in the ocean and fills the skies with birds. The Almighty brings about mammals on the land, creating a ton of different species.
Jesus, that's a busy week.
Yeah.
I mean, I get stressed when we have to do a podcast like 4 days from now. I can't. I'm stressed as all hell.
I need a Mai Tai after 5 minutes of podcasting.
If I get, I once got an email and a text at the same time and had to take a nap. I was so overwhelmed. I don't know how this motherfucker is flicking his wrist from the 3-point line and making man.
I mean, we talked the other day about how I got so stressed recently. I deleted WhatsApp in a panic, removed myself from countless groups and family chats because I was getting too many text messages. I would be a bad god.
You would be terrible gods.
I would get more than one prayer at one time and I would lose it. I'm like, stop talking at once.
That's it. Hurricane now. You little fuckers need to chill out. I just told you the other day that my email app on my iPhone just crossed over 1,000 unread emails. If those were prayers, then I'm pretty sure humanity wouldn't be very happy with their deity. I like as well that this is kind of like the relationship that we have in the paranormal commune. Where, you know, people are like writing in the complaint box, sending us letters, banging on the door, being like, where's the food? Where's the rations? We haven't had clean water in days. And we're like, that's enough. We can answer one prayer. One prayer a week is what you guys get. So you need to come together as a community and decide one thing.
One community member gets randomly selected every week. This week, the guy's like, I want a sandwich. Granted. Everyone's like, you we don't have water. Like salami, my favorite.
Like it's a wish. Like we're genies.
Granted.
The crown has spoken.
You could have at least got sandwiches for everyone.
Oh, man. Those the bonus episodes. Those guys. What are they like? Those little changeling
I'd
bastards.
Like to go for a drink with the guys who record that show.
We should say that the regular episodes are recorded by Kit and Rory. The bonus episodes are changeling doppelgangers who are just stirring up shit, just being evil. Half of the episode is us playing the pan flute randomly, just during intervals.
It's pretty annoying, and we do have to live in the fairy realm because of that. They have taken our place in the human realm.
Sure.
But, you know, whatever, half the work.
It's all right here. As I said, cookies are big. Ants are also big, which is terrifying, but, you know, pretzels, huge. Ask me about burgers. Ask me about, go on.
What are the
enormous, dude. They're, you won't even believe it.
You won't even need the double cheeseburger. The single cheeseburger will suffice.
Will feed your family for generations. A single Happy Meal Fry could build a civilization. Do you understand how small we are in this realm?
Chocolate chip is some kind of f***ed up chocolate Everest for you to climb.
I saw a man crushed by a breadcrumb. He was impaled. He was obliterated by the crumb. So it's not all bad here in the fairy realm. But the exciting news is that we are being freed from the fairy realm for a very short period of time. And I know a lot of you guys out there are like, hey, we want to see you, Kit. We want to see you, Rory, if you are escaping the fairy realm. And you can see us. As we said on last week's episode of the podcast, we are going to be doing a little paranormal picnic slash meet and greet for this Paranormal Life fans who are either in London or near London. So come along. It's Saturday, August 21st at the Reformers Tree in Hyde Park.
Or nearby. We should be able to spot us from there.
You should be able to spot us. We're going to be there from 4 p.m. Is that correct?
That's right.
We're going to be there from 4 p.m. There is an event page in the description of this podcast. But we've also just given you all the information that you need. Hopefully some of you guys can make it and hang out and have some food and some drinks. And for those of you who, you know, live a little bit too far to come or you live in a different country, don't worry about it. This is just a way for us to have a small meet and greet and do some form of live activity this year. We wanted to do live shows. We wanted to do, you know, bigger tours. But unfortunately, all of those things have been put on hold until probably next year. So fingers crossed, we will be doing a live show, a full This Paranormal Life show at a venue near your location at some point in the future. But in the meantime, as I said, if you're nearby, come along on Saturday. It's going to be a blast. So hopefully we'll be seeing some of you this Saturday. If you can't find the event page, the best way to find it is to head on over to Facebook and join the This Paranormal Life Secret Society. I'm sure it'll be posted there and you can even chat with a ton of other members who will be coming to visit on the day. So hopefully see some of you then.
And if you're listening to this in 2025, tell our families we love them. We probably haven't lasted that long. We probably died from the fairy curse.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, start off as like a nice little picnic and some triangle sandwiches, couple beers, maybe a couple shots, maybe some of that elder tree that you mentioned.
Okay, you're getting carried away.
And then we march on Parliament.
What?
That's right. The revolution begins.
No.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We will be back next Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.